Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alden Ford.
I'm Winston Knoll.
And this is Hear Me Out.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back, one and all. Welcome back, Winston.
Hey, welcome
to this
back.
Basement.
Welcome back, Alden.
Welcome back, me, to the place I'm in
where
all
you
the
live.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading this week, and I meant to bring it in, but I didn't because I forgot. An article about
so
high art and low art.
Mm.
And
where do you think our podcast sits on that?
I mean, on the lowest. We're in the lowest category. There's
well,
no
to paint
way.
A picture for the listeners at home, we're sitting in my basement, surrounded by like a computer and a fridge, some books, records. It's not as cool as you might think. Ram by Paul McCartney is currently waiting, just sitting like a caged tiger on my turntable. And we're drinking some wine.
Yep.
But also we're talking about the worst music ever made. So
yeah.
It sort of goes from like hipstery chic to just gross.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was
interesting.
The wine
is good, though.
The wine is very good. Yeah, it was just an interesting... I can't remember any of it. This is a... why did I lead with this? I apologize. It was a bad idea, but I'll bring it in next time. And
the discussion of art is always welcome here at this table.
Well, that's why I was like... I read it, and I was like, oh, this actually applies to the podcast. But then I didn't follow up.
By dissecting low art, you make it high art.
Well, this
I
guy
learned
was
that
saying,
from the Calvin and Hobbes strip where he talks about a cartoon, a comic strip, and then a painting of a comic strip, and then a cartoon of a painting of a comic strip, and how it goes back and forth between high and low art.
Oh, wow. This is art chat with Winston and Alden.
Art chat with wine lovers
Winston
and
Alden. Keep it at cellar temperature.
Cellar temperature. That's the name of our a terrible name of our podcast.
That would be a great name for a wine podcast, cellar temperature.
Why?
Because we're
double,
in, a,
what's the
we're
double
in
meaning?
Your basement.
Oh, but see, by naming it cellar temperature, you're revealing to the audience that you don't have a real studio. You're
yeah,
in a basement drinking wine.
What if you did a podcast from a cellar?
From a wine cellar?
Yeah. We got a great guest.
Guys, this week we have... This is a notable episode. This is our first episode where we are bringing back a guest that we just could not let fly off into the world without...
Yes,
doing
as guests are wont to do.
Yeah, man, I haven't seen Drew Johnson in...
He flew off
in
into the
months,
world.
Months.
Yeah. Drew was actually our first double dip,
double
but that
episode,
was the same night.
But we recorded in one night.
This
yeah.
is our first...
Hey, let's get you
isolated.
Back on this show.
Yeah, and it's our very first guest.
Yes, please welcome back to the show a very funny writer, improviser, comedian, currently writing for SNL, Weekend Update. It's Josh Patton.
Hi, guys.
Josh.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show, sir.
I know. It's such an honor to be the first guy to make two independent subway trips to come out and do this show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think
yeah,
that's the standard. Because Drew,
oh,
Drew...
Did you not see the driver when you left your apartment? There was a driver outside.
Yeah.
Waiting. Cellar temperature was written on his...
Oh, okay. No, I thought that was just for some highfalutin art show.
Yeah, no.
I thought that
no.
that was like an artsy podcast that somebody else in my building was doing.
Easy mistake to make.
Yep. No, I thought I was like, all right, I'll put on my crappy music and then trudge on the subway over here.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what have you been doing with your music taste since you were on the show last?
Oh, yeah.
You
Ooh,
picked up question. Any? You picked
good
up
follow-up.
Any?
Good question. Well,
detritus.
Detritus. Every song in 2013 sounds like "Don't Stop Feeling Good Enough" by Michael Jackson, right? Like
yeah.
that's what this
oh,
year
really?
Is.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
just like we've decided to bring back a little disco guitar sting to do. I Get Lucky and Blurred Lines, which are two of my favorite songs.
Well, and Lose Yourself to Dance. Lose Yourself to Dance, the other single off that album, is the one that sounds the most like the first
oh,
single
yeah.
off that album.
Yeah.
And the new Bruno Mars song,
yeah, Treasure,
also sounds very yeah. disco-y.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's the year where
if
it's like
doesn't...
let's do high tempo,
yeah.
Kind of falsetto singing
yeah.
disco songs.
I mean,
yeah.
JT is
killing it.
JT is in there.
He's
always
right in that
been
wheelhouse.
In there. But yeah, so yeah, Josh was obviously one of the founders of Train Wine Night.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we
have
heard
you,
a lot
have
about
you guys
that.
Discussed that before?
Yes,
oh yeah,
several
you,
times.
Yeah. You've discussed this on that podcast.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add that Winston may not have
well,
brought to
from
the
last
table?
Night?
Oh yeah, I had a wine party at my house at my apartment.
Was
last
Train
night.
Wine in attendance?
Train Wine was in attendance because we had one additional bottle of Calling All Angels Chardonnay, and I had a wine party over at my house, sort of a housewarming thing. About 30 people were there, maybe total, which was great. It was a very fun night. We were there from like 6 o'clock till about midnight. Some dancing happened. Some mm-hmm. some a crudité plate was laid out. It was real, you know. I felt like very much like an adult.
Yeah.
And we probably drank through, like, today I threw out in the recycling probably like 30 bottles of wine.
Well,
great.
Nah, that's an exaggeration. Probably like 20 bottles of wine. Everybody there probably had about 2/3 to a bottle of wine. And the one wine that was left was the Calling All Angels. Because nobody touched unopened, not even like brought off the wine rack to like a place where it could be opened. Not even chilled. I don't like, chill the wine. It just it's sitting in my kitchen, getting warmer as the heat wave overtakes New York City and fermenting into like vinegar syrup.
Yeah. Well, do you think that would clean taste better? You could make now you could make salad dressing with it, which might actually be its calling. I will say, Josh, knowing that you were coming on the show today, I had to pick my song carefully because I had a lot of options, and I was like, we're not going to have anything to talk about. Like, I was going to do a Hall & Oates song, I was going to do a Billy Joel song, and
I have a lot to talk about Billy Joel.
You don't like Billy Joel?
Here's the thing with Billy Joel. He's like a guy who... Billy Joel dates women and really wants their dads to not like him.
Yeah.
Like, he really wants to be... Yeah. He has, like, the affectation of, like, a bad boy.
Certainly, like, pre-1988.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Which Glass is... I think that's what we talk about with Billy Joel. It's like, he always has this Ron Rosenbaum, a writer for Slate.com, he wrote... He's a great writer, but he writes, like, short, like, long-form magazine pieces for Slate. Wrote this thing about Billy Joel where he basically summed up Billy Joel's discography with the phrase, "It drips with unearned contempt."
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the working man, for women,
yeah,
for the entertainment industry. Like, he, like, puts himself above everything.
Well, I think Only the Good Die Young is a classic. I mean, that's a terrible song. It's it's just a mean-spirited, like, hey.
I know every word of it.
And, like, Uptown Girl is sort of the same way. I mean, they're both basically the same song, hey, you rich goody-two-shoes.
Your white come hang bread out with world.
Me, a slightly less goody-two-shoes, also white.
Right. Hey, Catholic girls.
Yeah. Hey, like, Catholic girls, I used to be Catholic.
Yeah.
Think about that.
It's like every song is like he wants us to imagine him, like, lighting a cigarette off of his beard stubble and screaming away on a motorcycle, but he gets into a sedan and drives away.
Right. Well, and the music video for Allentown, one of the worst music videos I've ever seen in my life.
Billy Joel song that I brought.
Yeah, he
pretends to be a rallying cry.
Do we
want to
do an audible and just do the Billy Joel song?
No.
The song you chose, I know what it is. It's great. You made a great choice. So why did you reject those other ones though?
Oh, I just figured we wouldn't have anything to talk about because I know we all really like 80s music unabashedly.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But there, I mean, there's always something to say about Billy Joel. But instead, I chose an even bigger target. Should we just jump right into it?
I think so.
I mean, when I say jump right in, it's been 11 minutes since we started rolling. let's just jump right into my choice. I mean, I think we all will like this song as well.
Yeah.
Hard song to dislike, easy song to make fun of.
Yeah.
This is post-Journey Steve Perry during his solo career with the song Oh Sherry.
This song, I'll say this, if this part was not in the song, it's a bad part of the song.
No, it's good. If this song comes on in like a party situation, nobody knows what it is right now, but you do.
Yeah.
So then it drops, and when it drops hard.
Yeah. You should have been gone. This is cool. No.
This is this part you like?
Yeah, this is the best part of the song.
This is the most pretentious part to me.
No, this is the best part.
He's singing in like an empty hallway.
No, the chorus is the best part.
You've got some acapella instincts.
This chorus has no match. I mean, we all know the song.
Yeah.
No reason to keep listening.
I just think...
Except for that it's awesome.
You know, it's just like Romeo and Sherry.
Romeo and Sherry?
That classic love story. I mean, Sherry, it's not a bad name at all, but it's definitely...
It's not
it
a good name.
It doesn't feel like the name it should... That this thing should be.
I really feel
it,
like...
It grows less sexy over time. Yeah. Like
the name?
No. This song, and by association, the song. Because when the song was written, like, there were probably, like, high school girls named Sherry.
Right
now, there are middle school librarians named Sherry. And yeah. so it's like, and by association, right. Steve Perry becomes more of like a skeezy scumbag.
This yeah. is like
if we imagine him singing this song now, what he's doing is like be busted into like his ex-wife's like
yeah.
like reading session.
Yeah, school. Exactly.
This would be like if somebody had a song now like being like, "Oh, Madison." Or like, you know,
yeah,
or like,
not even. Yeah, it would be like, yeah, yeah.
What's the, is that? That's a name. What's an anyway?
We Emma. Don't have to go through. I think Emma. Emma's is the hot a baby big name. We don't have children. None of us.
Welcome
have,
to no, welcome no,
I don't
to
know about
baby
cellar
name.
Temperature, where we talk about baby names.
Yeah, I read some. All the Game of Thrones characters are going to be like baby names in the
oh
future.
Boy. Oh boy, Arya.
Yeah, Sansa.
Oh Sansa.
Daenerys, like with weird Y's and like
oh,
AE
oh,
combinations.
Man.
Now
the. I think he named it O'Sherry because it rhymes with Steve Perry. O'Sherry
no, it's
by
his
Steve
actual,
Perry.
It's his actual girlfriend. Sherry Swardson.
But I mean, they
girlfriend
get,
at the time.
Cool. They didn't get married because of the name, right?
No.
She wouldn't want to be Sherry Perry.
Sherry Perry.
No, it's her name was Sherry Swardson.
Wow.
And
that is a very 80s name.
Here's something. There's nothing to it. That's my criticism of the song is a great chorus. A good verse, but it's just like there's nothing. There doesn't build to anything.
But yeah, well, there isn't a lot to it.
No.
But you know, much like a lot of songs we've brought in before, like your
all my songs are this way.
Your song, they know what's good. And they just keep
yeah.
hitting it. Like your Desperately Wanting.
Yeah.
It's all chorus.
Hits it every. Here's the thing that's crazy to me, and can I give a little background from the old Wikipedia that I
love
think
it.
Is amazing?
Love it.
It's a song written by Steve Perry, Randy Goodrum, Craig Krumpf, and Bill Cuomo. Four people wrote this song.
Wow.
Four people. And here's the best part. Bill Cuomo performed the keyboard riff on Oh Sherry, also did the keyboard riff on Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh.
So he was, I guess, your go-to keyboard riff guy of the time.
Keyboardist.
But Cuomo, Krumpf, and Perry had started composing the song at approximately midnight with little more than the simple chorus of Oh Sherry and Hold On, Hold On.
Love it.
Here's my other the favorite part of that. Sherry Swafford had been in the room with them initially, but had gone to sleep because of the late hour.
This is a love song to a woman who fell asleep during its inception.
During an yeah. after party. Well, yeah, that's also, yeah, that doesn't say a lot about the
no
song.
No thanks. Josh, what are your thoughts on this song?
I kind of agree. It's all chorus. Like that chorus pumps in. We have that weird the start of the song.
What's wrong with that?
The start of
the
song.
That's like being this chocolate bar is all chocolate.
Yeah, I don't eat just a Hershey's chocolate bar. I'm not a monster.
I
love Almond Joys. I love Heath bars. I love you. Got to have some nougat or some coconut.
It's too much dessert.
It's an expensive chocolate bar. It's
no, to me, it's more
this is not. Don't let's not say that this is an expensive.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want some fruit chopped up in your wine? Is sangria the only thing you enjoy? What about something that's just wine, Josh?
This is cellar temperature.
This is
sangria, Bane, or
but this wine has tannins. It's not just grape juice, right? Imagine like grape juice.
That's
is
right.
Steve
too
Perry
sweet.
Has a mullet.
My thing is, it's like if you're
the
like
tannins of the music world.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, do you like Hershey bars? Here's 17 Hershey bars. Please eat them all in a row. Like
okay.
That's I think.
So you're
it.
Saying the chorus is one Hershey bar each.
I'm saying that we're dealing with the law of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is. And the start of the song is it's the best part of the song all the night. I can't believe
part.
As the person who brought this song in, you
Shitting
don't understand.
Down.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you play it again? I want to hear that part
yeah,
again because it's so good.
It's
from the
so
beginning.
Good.
Yeah, just from the beginning. Get that keyboard.
Or from after the little
no.
keyboard riff.
I
you
don't like
start
I
off with the keyboard
I don't like
riff.
The keyboard.
No. Because this lowers expectations. What this does is it says, this is going to be some bullshit synthesizer
yeah.
song.
This is going
yeah.
to be... This
Buck
right.
up for some Peter Cetera B-sides.
Yeah.
And
but
then...
No.
Yeah.
Like a shot in the dark.
Yeah. I mean... Yep.
You can hear him breathing in.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
you can hear him breathing in, which
that's
is like
fucking
it's
great.
Best. It's raw and
hear
it's
pipes.
Just emotional.
Hear those pipes.
Yes. I mean, so I will say this: they know what works because Steve Perry by himself is awesome. It's
yeah.
great.
He is. He's
it's
not great. With Journey anymore, right? They've replaced him
no.
with a contest
with a Filipino
with
man.
A Filipino
with a Filipino man.
Man
in a contest, right?
I saw Journey live with that, and you could close
with
your
that
eyes.
Guy?
And
he's better, right? He's
sounds,
a better.
He sounds
exactly
amazing, the same. And he's also like super high energy and was like selling it. I went with Chris Kelly and a mutual friend of ours.
I would.
We all went and we were like, that was fucking great. Like,
I would
they were
kill
amazing.
To see Journey right now.
They were awesome.
Yeah.
They had a bright red piano on stage.
Like,
Wow.
I think that might be a better model for like aging rock bands, is to like just have a contest and get like get the best
Sound alike, and that's all you need.
I saw Everclear in concert last summer, and it was a little disappointing.
You saying they should have had an Everclear sound alike?
I think if you get the it would
he
have
was
been
an
better.
Asshole though, wasn't he?
He wasn't an asshole.
Oh, I heard he,
this, is art, this is art. This is art. Alex August, who's the lead singer of Everclear. His last name might as well be Everclear. Art Everclear. No, and so like it was a gym. The Gym Blossoms were there, and Lit was there, and both those bands fucking rocked because they have great front men who still care, who are still into it. Sugar Ray was great too because Mark McGrath is a consummate entertainer. But Everclear was a little bit disappointed because the lead singer sort of dropped the ball a little bit. Art wasn't there. He was like he pointed the microphone to have the audience sing the chorus a bunch. His voice may have been messed up.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah,
and it's just like, well, all right. If you're an aging band, if you replace the lead singer with the best karaoke singer of your band's songs, and like I think it, like sometimes lead singers just go downhill, and you just gotta like you know replace them. I saw Tom Petty in concert at Bonnaroo this year.
And
great, he's great. He still has it, so he's allowed to do it, I think. But like other bands, like shouldn't do it. You shouldn't have like Steve Perry like left for a reason. We got a younger,
well, especially
more
when you got somebody
guy.
Like Steve Perry, whose entire job it was to have a great range. Had no creative input to speak of. Like, he was just there to be a great voice.
Yeah.
This is considered, I think, like, a lot of people sort of consider
this... What was the name of...
A Journey song. Like, a lot of people, if you asked, I think...
It sounds like
Joe
a soft
Schmo
Journey
on the street,
song.
Yeah.
They'd
people
be
think
like,
it's Journey.
Oh, Journey did that song.
Yeah, well, it was Steve Perry's only real, like, single outside of Journey, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
you could
he was
people
still
a
member.
Mistake.
So the song is also regarded as an honorary, I put that in quotes for everyone who's listening and not watching, Journey song, because he was still a member of Journey when this was released.
Mm.
Like, it was his solo effort, but he was still part of Journey.
Interesting.
The music video on this is...
Oh, man.
Crazy.
What a great...
Well, here's a fun fact about the music video. Sherry is in the music video.
Sherry Swardsford or whatever.
Swafford, I think.
Swasford?
Yeah. I feel like that's the most 80s name that you could possibly have. Sherry Swafford. That feels like a girl in Animal House.
Yeah.
You know, or like that's
a very 80s name.
You know what I mean? Like Sherry.
That's
in
the girl
video.
That like in an 80s high school teen like romp movie. That's the girl whose name is always said first and last name.
Yeah.
I'm going over to a party at Sherry Swafford's house.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see what Sherry Swafford was wearing
today? Yeah. The nerd going, Sherry Swafford.
Sherry Swafford.
Bad chance, dude.
Yeah.
But she's very cute. She's very, in the video, it's just like, oh. And then you're also kind of like, wow, Rick Perry is not a...
Steve Perry.
God damn it.
Yeah, I know.
Not a handsome man.
Who's insulted more by that mistake?
I think Steve Perry. Well, Rick Perry, for you know, say what you will about the man, he does look like a Ken doll. He's a handsome man.
He's a very handsome governor of like our biggest state, right? Is Texas the biggest state?
Yeah.
No, California.
No, Alaska
is more than twice the size.
We're not talking about land area. Alden.
You're talking about population?
Yeah. Alden. The most people.
California.
Okay.
California.
Texas is two, right? Second biggest state.
I would say electoral votes.
Why would
Texas has
this? No, but he's like a very handsome, like twice elected governor of a state that whose economy is compared to countries.
Yeah.
It's like it's got the economy of Belgium. Right. So it's like he's done like a lot. And like to be compared to like the lead singer of an 80s like soft rock band, like is probably more offensive to him.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Because also Steve Perry, for those of you who've never Google Steve Perry, not easy on the eyes, not a handsome man.
Oh right? No,
that voice, no. You're not expecting that voice to come out of that guy.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
But that's every singer, especially every 80s singer.
Yeah, especially every 80s singer. It might be tougher for him to. Well, I guess.
I mean, Tom Petty looks like the Crypt Keeper.
What? Well, now, back in the day, he just looked like a fresh-faced Jiminy Cricket.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, like an insect. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
He looked like a mournful Jiminy. Cartoon insect.
That's right. So, Alden, what do you love about this? This is your song, so...
I mean, you know, it's really just the chorus. I love the chorus.
That's the whole song.
Yeah
it's fine. I'm great. Guilty. I love the whole song.
All right.
As soon as you told me what it was, I was like, I couldn't get it out of my head. Like,
yeah.
All day long today, I've been going like... Oh, Sherry.
Yeah.
I gotta say the Oh, Sherry. Like, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's a great chorus. Like, I was very excited.
I mean, I don't think there's anything not to like besides the fact that it's, I mean, like you said, it's pretty insubstantial. There's not a lot to it.
Here's a legit criticism of this song. I think I might like this song worse after talking about it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Because I came in liking this song. The first 30 seconds of the song are so good, and then after that, it gets disappointing.
Yeah.
It never recaptures that.
That's
like,
my...
That's why the bridge is, like, later... Like,
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
It records the way
through
the song for a reason, and this is, like, it just starts off with dropping
Well, there's no bridge. It's just
there's
solo.
No bridge, I know.
And because it goes... Beer, beer,
but
beer,
like,
beer.
Right, but, like, what would be the bridge is right at the top of the song.
Yeah.
They drop all the guitars, they drop all the drums, and it's just...
Yeah.
Which is cool, but it's up top cool. It's not sustainable cool.
You're right. It's very top heavy.
Here's my criticism with it, and maybe this is an unfair criticism, but I don't feel like anybody could cover this song and pull it off. Not because it's so great, Steve Perry's so '80s and so cheesy '80s that you can't pull it off.
I think that there's a Filipino contest winner who begs to differ.
Yeah,
I can name one person who can pull it off better than Steve Perry.
No, but I mean, like, you know, even if you're not I mean, you
but
can
you're
do
right.
it maybe
is...
ironically, but I don't think the song is good enough that it can survive a cover.
Yeah, if this were on The Voice or American Idol, it would suck. I don't know if it has been. It may be. I don't know.
I feel like it.
You're
I
right.
Mean, I feel like it was, but it would be nondescript, and it wouldn't be like it wouldn't have that same pop that.
Well,
like,
there's not very much room for anything. I mean, it's really just it's the song that it is. Like, there's not. You couldn't put it on American Idol because nobody could improvise to this. You can't do anything but just sing that song.
I just feel like this feels like a bad cruise ship song. Like, you know, that if somebody was like, I do Oh Sherry on the cruise, and you're just like, everyone's like, next. You know, it's like, not, it's a great song, but it's not enough of a hit to be a standard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You might
I
be
still
right.
love it.
You
I
might
don't
be
know.
Right. I mean, yeah.
By the way, that's my favorite genre of music. A good old song that's not a hit enough.
Oh, you were talking about that. Yeah.
The B-sides of songs are the best.
You said you were DJing
at qualify?
The wine party.
Does this qualify as a
B-side? Oh, yeah. Because, like, when you think about Journey, then I'll throw this into Journey. It's like, Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
Maybe Separate Ways.
Maybe.
But then this
any
is
way
like,
you want
any
it.
Any way you want it.
Any way you want it, yeah.
That song is those, great.
Right, it is, but those are like A-list songs. We've all been at parties that we've danced to those those songs before. Some people out there may have never been in a party where Oh Sherry comes on.
Yeah, when was the last time you rubbed up against somebody on with Oh Sherry playing in the background?
Right.
Whoa.
Like, those are the best songs. Best songs.
Yeah.
I think you're right. There's that undiscovered gem where it's the freshness that's really...
Yeah.
But see, does the diminishing returns, as we've discussed, undermine the freshness of it not of it being a B-side?
Sure. Yeah. If this was a standard, everybody would be sick of it, and I think we'd be sick of it quicker than we got sick of "Don't Stop Believin'" or "Any Way You Want." Right.
Rest in peace, that song.
This is a this is a weird.
We can't do it anymore, right? We can't.
That is the. It was a great song at the time, and now it has become. I would rather listen to Crazy by Gnarls Barkley than listen to Don't Stop Believing by
statement.
Journey.
That's a real bold statement.
I mean, they at the same in the same window of time, they were destroyed by overplaying.
Yeah.
And we have to
wait. It's
and
it's
the
like,
sad part is it was 20 years after it was written.
Yeah. Every song like every song it's a Chernobyl effect.
Yeah.
Right? It's like if a song is like to that level of overplaying and just oversaturation, it's
poisonous.
Earth is poison for 20 years and you have to move out and abandon that song. And when it plays, everybody gets real weird.
Yeah.
And it creeps everybody out just thinking about it.
Yep.
But then in like 20 years, like maybe we can revisit this stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's right.
Blame Steve and or Rick Perry.
'97, a simpler time, a happier time.
Hmm.
Bill Clinton is getting BJ's in the White House.
Yeah,
and
with a nation unaware.
Still
unreported.
As then unaware.
Yep. The sheeple are sleeping. But a young entertainer named Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know, makes a splash with the movie Men in Black.
You think? You think Men in Black was the movie that made a splash for Will Smith?
I think it's my favorite Will Smith movie.
And not his 7-season run on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
This was a splash on an intergalactic level.
Yeah, so was Independence Day was. Like, Independence... Okay. Like, he literally was in another movie about aliens.
This is
like
a splash,
3 years before this.
An intergalactic splash with Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, gross. You've just secured the name of this episode is going to be An Intergalactic Splash.
Yeah.
Gross.
I was thinking, it's summer, the season of blockbusters, and it kind of got me thinking, and I think I might do a couple of these where it's music, summer blockbuster music, because the late 90s were a time where if there was a summer blockbuster, you know there was a summer jam that was trying to capitalize on it, and this is one of the first.
And the Diddy, well, then that's, Puff Daddy.
There was the Puff Daddy Godzilla song.
So good.
Have you said the name of this track? It's not a secret.
Oh, yeah, it's Men in Black.
It's Men in Black, yeah.
Men in Black.
And there was I Don't Want to Close My Eyes, Armageddon.
Yeah, was around like, that
yeah,
same time.
Was yeah. That, yeah, I think that was like within those 3 years.
Yeah.
There had to be a couple more.
Iris, yeah. Iris
City of Angels, right.
Yeah. About, yeah.
I keep meaning to put that on. Yeah, I keep that's a, always like my, in my back
one.
Pocket.
Gotta get to that one. Well,
there was the thong song from Deep Impact.
Oh boy,
plays very briefly. At the top.
Yeah. So my song is.
I always think of that movie whenever.
Every time.
Every time I hear
it's effective.
That's like a sir. The asteroid's coming to us. How big is it? It's miles wide. Miles wide like how? Like what? What?
Yeah.
Dumped like a truck. But my song is Men in Black by Will Smith. What's going on? Creepiness. Be careful. Is this Thriller?
Poor man's Thriller right
maybe?
Here.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Nope. What's going on?
Starts off with the trademark, woo!
I mean, woo! I'm already writing it. Alden was playing this, and I started rapping along with it. And, like, before you came in, Josh, he was playing it, and
guys,
I started rapping
along.
Guys,
we do not fuck around on this show. Winston knows everyone.
Almost. What is it? If I dress in black, remember that. Just in case we ever meet to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB. Means what you thought you saw, you did not see. So don't blame me.
Good job,
wow.
Man.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, I have a very open mind about music. Winston, you're an idiot for liking this song. When I heard that you were doing this song, I was like, well, finally, a song on this podcast that I legitimately think is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is like,
you know what my favorite song is? Eat It by Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a parody song.
It's a parody song.
It's a parody song with a little bit of rap thrown in.
Yeah, it's like opening up a Christmas present and it's a toy from McDonald's and being excited about it. clearly, transparently bullshit promotional item as a real thing.
Well, guys, I guess the Grammy committee would beg to differ because this won Best Solo Rap Performance in 1998.
What? That was still...
What else was nominated?
What else was nominated? This was before the Grammy committees knew what rap was. They just thought it was like, oh, well, it's just one black
guy.
This
is a fad, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, we like Will Smith.
Yeah, you beat out Peebo Bryson and the Tony Rich project.
It's because he did. Well, Peebo Bryson did spoken word in the middle of like a whole new world.
Yeah,
or
yeah. It's like rap. It seems like rap stuff.
Yeah. Well, no. Here's the thing. I have a nostalgia. This is straight up nostalgia fondness. Like, a friend of mine. Hopefully, he listened to the my friend of mine, Robert and I would. We loved this song, and whenever it would come on at a dance, it did. And we could,
wow. How often did that happen?
Well, this is the best. He's teaching them how to do the dance.
Right. He's in the video. He's
Take
teaching
a walk
an alien, right?
Yeah. He's teaching an alien how to dance.
It kind of looks like Cy Snoodles from the Max Rebo band in the Star Wars.
He's one
universe.
Of the.
I know who Cy Snoodles.
Okay. All right.
you don't have to remind me of Max Rebo or Cy Snoodles.
Okay. But the alien that he dances with in this video is very reminiscent of Cy Snoodles.
Well, it's
which is another example of how derivative bullshit this song is.
Well, the alien is from the movie. It's the very first alien that you see. And anyway, point is, I love Men in Black.
Okay. Thanks for that examination of how true it sticks to the canon. But it's still a bullshit song.
I understand that. We would love the song and we would like rap to it and like kind of laugh about it, but I really did like it. And then when I was like, we should do this, and I listened to it again, I was like, oh, this is one of those ones. Revisiting it was like, Oh man, it's like going back to a room or your high school and being like, it was a lot smaller than I like.
Yeah.
It's,
oh yeah.
You know, it's like that feeling of like, because that's the thing. This song is just
it
so
grows
boring.
In your, it grows in your mind. It's like
oh god.
Like now you're gonna make fun of me for liking Rush, a great band.
Yeah.
By many
well,
measures.
This is a yeah. It's not a going back to it. I understood its flaws, but I still have a very soft place in my heart.
I'm listening to the song and thinking about how good Welcome to Miami is. Like, by comparison, it's yeah. Like when, you, when you're saying, like, oh, it looks smaller yeah. by comparison, it's like, oh, well, other Will Smith songs, do they all that same effect?
Getting jiggy
with it. No, that song's better than this.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's this.
Well, here's the thing. That
at least it's original.
Think about this. It's an original at least it's song. Not trying to brand him and Tommy Lee Jones as MIB.
Well, here's the worst part. There was a stretch where he, like, it was one of those things that this happened, and I have no idea why people still like Will Smith, because he did this song, and then he did Wild Wild West, and did a rap to Wild Wild West, and then they did Men in Black 2, and he has another, this is a better song than Men in Black 2. He did a song for that.
How does that song go? Are we able to pull that song up?
Black sure. Suits Come and Nod Your Head.
Is that the name
I think
of
that
song's
better than this song.
The thing that really bothers me is that Wild Wild West, he just basically was like, let's find a Stevie Wonder song. I'll rap about the movie. And it's so, I don't know why people, it's one of those things of like, if this happened today, everybody would be like, fuck this guy. Like,
well,
it's,
but see, I think that people are just like, yeah, whatever. He did the song. Who gives a shit? Nobody respects him as a rapper.
Yeah. I mean, but he was winning Grammy Awards.
Can I just say, and this is just, again, how much this song sucks. Okay, he does this, and it's like, it might be kind of bullshit. I'm excited to hear this next Men in Black song, because I think it's better. Mm-hmm. But also, the song he did from Hitch, legitimate good song.
Wait, he did a song from Hitch, too?
Yeah, it was a song called Hitch. It's from the movie Hitch, but the song is called Switch.
Yeah, gross.
Oh, God.
Josh. This is...
What?
That doesn't sound good.
No, it's good. It's yeah. a good song. That's
is
like
it a Stevie Wonder song that he ripped?
No. I'm sure he took the beat from somewhere, but it's not recounting the plot of Hitch.
Yeah.
And also creating an acronym like that Men in Black song does. It creates
the
M-I-B.
About me, M-I-B.
Right.
It means what you thought you saw, you did not see.
Great. That was developed
by a dude
in marketing.
Did Wild Wild West sample Stevie Wonder song
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah.
We're going straight to the Wild Wild West. Is this Black Suits Coming?
Yep.
Gosh.
See, it's already got a darker edge.
Oh, come on. Whoa.
Wait, maybe this song is better.
It's better.
Oh, this song is better.
It's way better. Yeah.
This is not as successful. This was maybe at the... This is actually a much better song.
It's an actual song. It's yeah. not a McDonald's toy jingle. Breaking the back of the random attacker, so can the flak you want dangerous. I've been trained to bust when a I mean, it might not be Grammy Award winning.
This is like,
but
this is Will
good.
Smith after hearing Blueprint. Like, you know, like. They say I'm a myth. Trust me, if somebody ripped out of the depths of your imaginations, appears Will yeah. Smith. It's better.
It's a
lot better.
It's a real song.
Yeah, yeah. It's an actual
sort
song.
Of.
Well, yeah. So what my point on this song is
yeah.
that Men in Black is Will Smith at his worst. And
wait,
what you
the movie?
What?
The movie is my favorite Will Smith.
Oh no, yeah, it's a great one. I'm partial to Independence Day, but I
okay,
fight. Fair,
I get it.
Fair, Men in Black, best Will Smith movie?
Yeah.
I'll take you on that.
Okay.
But I think that this song is the worst Will Smith song. Men in Black is the worst Will Smith song, which
what's
is
the
like,
most
that says a lot.
Yeah. Wait, worse than Wild Wild West?
Worse than Wild Wild West.
Really?
Yeah, because Wild Wild West had that, like, didn't...
It's
like,
the Wild Wild West.
Didn't that feature somebody?
This featured a guy named Coco.
Who may have been a Sliced Noodles alien.
Yeah. This featured the Max Rebo Band. Wild Wild West was on Willennium, which to me is my favorite, maybe my favorite album title of all time.
What?
Willennium
it's
is
pretty
amazing.
It's pretty great. It captures a lot.
It, like, to me, if there was, if my kids are like, hey, what was 2000... like the year 2000, like I was like Willennium.
Yeah.
It was the end of the Willennium.
It was the end of one Willennium and the start of another.
Oh, jeez.
But it's
yeah, it was the end of Will Smith's career.
I kind
of
wish
Prince
he.
I honestly think if you persist on listening to Men in Black by Will Smith, your children would not want to ask any follow up questions.
I think
about
it might have made me sterile.
Yeah, I think it may have made me sterile.
I wish that he released a song for Ali. I wish he released a song for The Pursuit of Happiness. I wish he released a song for After Earth. Right. I wish every Will Smith song had an movie had an accompaniment.
Pounds, y'all.
Giving away my organs.
Yeah. It's a twist ending. What you know about bending your organs? What?
Yeah. Woo! Let's write it.
I think we just did, and that was a better song than Men in Black.
Okay, I get it. Listen, I told you, it was when I was like excited about it, and then I listened to it again, and I was like, oh, this song isn't great. It's the same thing that suffers from O'Sherry. It doesn't go anywhere. It's the same thing.
I will give you credit. The part you were talking about, the dance, like resonates as true for me because
just
it is
bounce
like,
with me?
Yeah, because like I guess I was in high school when this came out. And yeah. That tracks. And like that sort of awkward high school danciness type thing, and then just bounce with me, just bounce with me, just slide with like it's
take
easy.
A walk with me, right. Do a jazz step.
It's easy to do that, like in a dance, in an awkward dance scenario,
right? So that, Will Smith helped out countless awkward teens on the dance floor. that may be his greatest legacy. I would say it is. Hey guys, I get it. When I listened to this song again, I was like, I've made a huge mistake. I didn't pick the right Will Smith song.
No,
it's still great. I still love it though, and I still know almost every lyric to it, which is weird.
Let's not say almost. You know every single word to this. All right, you quoted it in conversation, like deep cut.
Well, you know, we've been talking about movies, Will Smith movies a lot, Josh. Yeah. You've compared your song to a movie. To an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
My song is The Greatest by Kenny Rogers.
And so we're doing it a little differently because Josh asked us to not listen to this song.
I had, as a multiple time guest.
Oh, what nice.
My writer stated that they could not have listened to this song before right now. So we're gonna get their live reactions to this
Josh,
song.
Josh, we're friends, but that writer was a little elaborate and over the line.
What?
We have a lot of cheese plates here for you. You haven't touched them.
I just want them around because I want to smell cheese in the air while I drink my 17th bottle of your wine.
I
had to find a notary public to sign your writer.
Yeah. Well,
really unnecessary, I felt.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't feel like you're sorry. Your tone is not indicating that you're sorry at all.
I
apologize so much. I apologize so much for your lack of attention.
Okay.
I think that is giving the listeners a terrible vibe and experience off this. And I just think that you guys, I couldn't be more regretful over how you guys have fucked this up.
But part of your writer is you berating us over the writer. So we've done that, right?
What?
We're good.
We've fulfilled
so
our...
That's the one item you've done. Cool. All right. So I have Kenny Rogers, The Greatest. It was a late Kenny Rogers song. But very much in the tradition of any Kenny Rogers song, it's a story song. This song is told as a story.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that Kenny Rogers songs work, I'm so excited to have you guys listen to this.
I'm excited to listen to it.
This is called The Greatest. It was released in 1999. Some personal background on this.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in South Carolina and was always like a very contrarian kid. I didn't root for the University of South Carolina. I rooted for other schools. I didn't like the Atlanta Braves. I liked the other teams. You know, I have a very contrarian streak in me naturally. And so for country music, I didn't like country music at all. I've rejected it. I thought it was stupid, dumb.
Me neither.
Right. Oh, you're from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Winston is from Atlanta, so same thing.
I'm from Alaska. I had the same deal.
What? Nobody cares about land area.
That's not what I was
Okay, well, we got the biggest land. Nobody cares, dude. Oh, anyway, so I was in a real estate but then I moved. My family moved to Brazil, where I went to my junior and senior year of high school.
Big land area, though.
Was it? Nobody cares about that. A lot bigger than Alaska, though. So I mean, even they couldn't punch in with any facts.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I went to high school with my junior and senior year in Brazil, and so this is like when this song came out, because when I came back to the United States, I like got back in the country and I was like, oh, well, all the stuff I missed and been like sort of a contrarian dude with, I was like contrarian with in Brazil. So I got really into country music, like Shania Twain, Garth Brooks, like those late 90s sort of Alan Jackson,
a golden age, I would say.
Golden, a real golden age. Yeah, it was a lot of great stuff. And this was a song that was released then in 1999, and so I would watch this video all the time. It was my first introduction to Kenny Rogers, who tells story songs. And the way that story songs work are the chorus is part of the story. You guys probably know No One to Hold Them, No One to Fold Them, the Gambler, yep. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that song is about a guy on a train who meets a gambler, and the gambler gives him the advice, you got to know when to hold them, you got to know when to fold them.
Right.
Then they keep drinking on this train. And then the second chorus is the guy thinking about that same advice. Uh-huh. Kind of when to hold them,
right,
to hold,
right.
Hold them. And then the gambler dies. Or goes to sleep at the end of the gambler? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I think he dies. I prefer to believe that the gambler dies.
It's a country song, so he probably dies.
He's drinking a bunch of whiskey.
He probably dies.
On a train. And smoking cigarettes, so I assume he dies. But anyway, and then the last one is like he dies, and then the guy again reflects on the last words the gambler said. Gotta know where to hold him, know when to fold him, right? Yeah. It's not like it's a 100% narrative flow.
Right.
And so this song, The Greatest, is a narrative flow song.
All right.
Are we ready to kick
it? So we're going to listen to it.
Okay.
This is real time. This is a podcast first. We're going to listen to this for the first time.
You're going to listen to it first time. Is it all right if I tell you to pause?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when to pause.
Okay.
Great.
Here we go.
This is similar to Auld Lang Syne, same Auld Lang Syne, yeah. Where we just listen straight through.
Little boy.
Oh, boy.
In a
baseball hat. Stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says simple. I am the greatest player of them all. Puts his bat on his shoulder and he tosses up his ball. The ball goes up and the ball comes down. Swings his bat all the way around.
This is the chorus?
Around.
Yeah.
The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground.
Cool. I want you to pause right here, Alvin. So now what do we have here? We have a little boy in a field.
He's an idiot, basically.
He's just a little boy.
He's just a little boy with a baseball.
What's wrong with you?
He's a dumb, untalented child, as far as I'm concerned.
All Christ. We know is he's a little boy in a baseball field, and he says that
he can't hit a ball, even though he says he's the greatest.
Okay.
Wait, I thought he can hit the ball.
No, the ball falls to the ground.
He swings with all his might, but the ball falls ball falls to the ground. Okay.
Yeah, real dum-dum, right?
Real dum-dum.
I wasn't very good at baseball, so.
Okay. So that's what's happening.
You're right. That's how you play baseball, right?
You swing and miss, and your dad says it's okay.
No.
No, it's fine. But he's pretty good.
But he's by himself. I think that imagery is important. He's by himself. He's throwing the ball. He's just trying to throw a ball up and hit it.
But he says he's the greatest.
Yeah, before he does it. Cool.
Yeah.
So, let's continue.
Bottom of the ninth, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the little boy
continuing our narrative.
Doesn't say a word. Picks up his ball. He is undeterred.
Oh, undeterred.
Okay, wow.
Biggest word here. I am the greatest there has ever been. And he grits his teeth.
Never heard this song.
And he tries it again.
Okay.
The ball goes up and the ball comes down. Swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground.
Okay, he still doesn't have it. Can we pause?
Pause.
Okay.
All right, cool. So strike two.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's strike two. All right.
Okay, strike two. So, is that all we need to know? Or
what do you think's going to happen?
I think he's going to hit the ball, right?
You think he's going to hit the ball? Alden?
Well, I mean, we've already established the chorus.
Josh, is he going to strike out and hang himself? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, this is the...
Maybe.
This is the Casey at the bat before Casey even gets off the ground.
Okay.
I think he's going to... let's see.
No, just a yes or no. Do you think he's going to hit the ball or strike out?
I think he's going to hit the ball.
Hit the ball?
I think he's going to hit the ball.
Great, play.
He makes no excuses. He shows no fear. He just closes his eyes. And listens to the cheers.
Okay, classic.
He's focused.
Little boy, he adjusts his hat. Picks up his ball.
It's not a ball talk.
Yeah.
Stares at his bat.
Yeah.
Says, I am the greatest. The game is on the line. And he gives his all.
Oh, no.
I know. There's tension.
One last time.
Ball goes up like the moon so bright. Swings his bat with all his might. And the world's as still can be. And the baseball falls. And that's strike three.
Pause. Great. So he struck out.
Okay.
Okay.
So what? Where does this go?
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, to give the listeners some context, we have 50 seconds left in the song.
I think we should just go for these 50 seconds. And let me just say, guys, I'm holding a big glass of wine right now, but prepare for your hearts to be warm.
Okay. Warmed.
Warmed.
All right.
Interesting. I'm very intrigued.
Okay, should we guess as to what the twist is going to be?
Yeah, what's the twist?
He has testicular cancer.
Whoa!
The ball goes up, the ball goes down. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. No.
No, I think that there's two... My two guesses will be that either he was dead the whole time. That's just because you said Shyamalan.
Oh, sure.
Doubted that, but that's my...
The boy is Jesus Christ is my...
Okay. My guess is that it's going to be that the boy grows up to be some famous baseball player.
Okay, cool. I may have oversold this with an M. Night Shyamalan twist. The twist isn't that big, but it's big. It's cool. I think, okay, good guesses. Yeah.
Because, like, Michael Jordan wasn't accepted onto his
high school. It's like that old Paul Harvey, like, and now you know the rest of the story.
That's right. Yep.
That man grew up to be... In Miami Sound.
Except if it's Babe Ruth and it's like one time Babe Ruth struck out in his backyard, it's like, man.
Yeah. You know? it's like, all right, well, why was Kenny Rogers?
Yeah,
there?
These stakes aren't super high. Right.
What do you think happens?
I honestly think it has something to do with somebody dying or
I mean, I
like a perspective thing.
Let's put this into perspective. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's the president of the United States. Maybe he's George W. Bush.
Right.
That's a real. Yeah. Well, sure.
Toby Keith comes on for the last verse.
That's a real Pixar philosophy of he's going to accept the fact that he's not good at baseball and he's going to be good at something else.
Oh, yeah.
9/11.
Okay.
This is before 9/11.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of foreshadowing.
I'm trying to cover my bases.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Should we just listen?
Yeah. Let's listen.
Kenny Rogers with the boy. No, anyway.
Now it's supper time.
Okay.
And his mama calls.
Okay. This doesn't track.
Little boy starts home with his bat and ball.
Oh, no.
Says I am the greatest.
Oh, don't die.
That is a fact. But even I didn't know I could pitch like that.
Yeah!
I am the greatest. That is understood, but even I didn't know I could pitch that good.
Right? He struck him out, right?
He's like, he struck himself out.
He struck himself out, right? He didn't miss swinging. He struck himself out by throwing the ball up.
Oh.
So maybe oversold it with M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not sure. Have you ever seen an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
What? No, I've heard it's about sweet things.
Yeah, did you know
it's about that... looking on the positive side of things.
Yeah, did you know that at the end of The Village, it turns out that the father just really loves the daughter that much. That's how it is.
Oh, man, I didn't know that they could
turns
do that.
Turns out Bruce Willis was just sleeping the entire time.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah.
It's a dream.
Haley Joel Osment is just a very active imagination.
Yeah, he sees sleeping people.
I should start watching these movies.
I
like that twist.
It's a nice little sweet song, right?
Yeah.
It is a really sweet song. The kid sucks at baseball, though. We can all agree, right? He's a bad baseball player.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you want to take out of this, then
I'm just saying, like, that seems to be like the thing we can all agree on.
This falls in that great category of country music, which is like homespun wisdom.
Yeah,
which it feels like it should be on one of those like pieces of wood that you have a ribbon, like that, like, you know, God bless this mess.
Yeah,
you know, it feels like that sort of like
this is basically like Jesus Footprints the song.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing like musically interesting about this song. This is just a didactic feel good children's book that's to music.
That's a fair criticism.
Yeah, I was the other thing that this reminds me of is I was raised Baptist, like Southern Baptist. And this to me feels exactly like a preacher's joke.
Right.
Like
exactly.
A joke that a preacher would begin a sermon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The original title of the song, The Greatest, was Forward, 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 The Greatest.
Yeah.
It is like an email that you would get from an old relative about like some sweet heartwarming story.
It's in Comic Sans.
Yeah. It's like that story about like, because I know like a real one that I remember is like a bully. Or no, a kid like got his books knocked over or something like that. Or he was like, a nerd was carrying all of his books home. And a guy was like, oh, I thought I thought you were so nerdy and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, I'll talk to this nerd.
Yeah.
But it turns out that like years later when they graduate high school, he had taken all the books out of his locker. He wasn't a nerd. He just taken all the books out of his locker because he was going to kill himself that day. And so he wanted to clean out his locker. It's like harsh. Like every email that my parents have ever forwarded me is like fucking dark.
Yeah.
Like there's suicide. Yeah. There's like,
but at the end of this, it's like, so just remember, a kind word can go a long way. Or yeah, like, you know, exactly. Or like for the
forward
greatest,
this
like,
to 30 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just remember, we can look on the positive side of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because honestly, what's the fucking point of this song?
Just to be like, you know, if maybe you're not the greatest hitter, but you might be, a, you know, looking at it from a different angle.
This
believe in yourself. The title held by me.
All right. MIB.
The greatest.
The greatest.
Ali.
Is that? Wow.
The title held by me. The greatest Ali means if I boxed you, you cannot see.
Wait.
Just think about it. It's
wow.
Pretty good.
Are you,
I feel
that,
pretty good.
That's
about
your
that.
Fantasy theme song.
I'm
going to
write a bunch
Ali.
Of Will Smith fanfic.
Fanfic.
And this might be maybe jumping the gun on what all these songs have in common, but it's kind of like the same thing over and over and over again. They are
yeah,
very
this is a
repetitive.
Very repetitive day.
Yeah.
Very repetitive. Yeah, you know, finding a linking theme for these, I don't know. I think the greatest.
Summertime.
I think the greatest is about as simple a song like that as you can get. Like that is, it seems very concise for that kind of.
It's
like
what, 3 minutes or something?
Very yeah. Short.
Did you like this song a lot, Josh?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah. I mean, I downloaded it on Napster.
Oh, you've liked it for a long time.
Yeah, this was in a playlist with Nickelback's This Is How You Remind Me and Avril Lavigne's first
Holy
song.
Hey,
shit.
That's how
oh,
things
wow.
were.
Oh, wow, you called it before they did.
That's yeah. How things were in the Willennium. I can't
the
say
Willennium.
It.
The
yeah,
Willennium?
Turn of the
we were downloading Kenny Rogers'
Your
songs.
Children will never ask you that question.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Once you get that answer, they will walk away before you can expound upon it. I think that too.
Like, I mean, it's
the simplest version of this type of song. Like other Kenny Rogers song, like The Gambler or Coward of the County, which you may be familiar with too.
I do not know that song.
Have the same Coward of the County?
No.
This is from the album She Rides Wild Horses.
Yeah.
Which feels like that's another one where you could like. It's one of those ambiguous things of like,
no,
not sexual, but like, you know.
She Rides Wild Horses. Like,
sounds
yeah,
like a
she...
Rippington song, yeah, if you ask
right.
me.
Rippington's is Alden's favorite easy,
smooth jazz
combo.
Smooth jazz fuck music.
Anyway.
I want out of your basement right now.
Sorry.
Stay, John. No chance.
Yeah.
Josh, why don't you stay? Well,
cellar wine has taken a dark turn.
It
yeah.
didn't go
cellar temperature.
No, this song didn't chart. It played on CMT for a while.
Yeah.
It was like in the 20s on the country chart, I think.
Yeah,
it did some research to
do
look it up.
Great.
But it's like a sweet, I don't know.
So what do you think links these songs? You know, we already talked about maybe it being repetition.
Very, I think it's like the simplicity of them. I
They're
think
all
is
very
like pretty
simple.
Good.
Very
like
simple.
Oh Sherry is like it Oh Sherry started off with that idea of Oh Sherry,
yeah,
hold on.
Yeah.
It just starts off with that and wheels it out. And the Kenny
this
Rogers
is a simple
song,
story.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers song starts off with a simple story, like a parable that you could tell in
yeah.
about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Men in Black begins with a simple, stupid
Woo!
Marketing
yeah.
campaign for
Woo!
A stupid
it's
movie.
For simple people.
Yeah, and for simple people.
Here come the MIBs. Here come the MIBs.
I think that's good. I like simplicity. That's kind
of
nice
to me. Again, I picked my song because of summer, and the greatest makes me think of summer.
Baseball.
And,
yeah.
You know, like that kind of summer simple.
What do you think?
I feel like, I mean, if I was on the California One in my red Lambo,
that's
cranking
yeah,
up
that's
old
true.
Shit.
And it was 1989.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's good.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the theme of Dum Dum certainly runs through. I mean, Steve Perry's sort of a Dum Dum.
Well, names, naming.
MIB is four Dum Dums.
Yeah.
And the titular character.
Yeah. The kid who later died of being too stupid to
yeah.
survive in this world.
I totally thought that he was going to come home and get like hit by a car or something. When they were like, he's coming home. No, I've listened to country and that feels like a country music thing. Like he got hit by a car and
I really expected that last verse to him be like, for him to be like, now every time he takes the plate with the New York Yankees. He
Hell
remembers
yeah.
that time. Or like with
it
the Atlanta
be, you know,
Braves.
Yeah, it would be the
yeah. He'd remember that
or
time.
Or the Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers, yeah.
But the other thing, they all deal with naming. Oh, Sherry.
Yeah, Sherry.
We are the MIB.
The
declarations of names. Oh, Sherry. We are the MIB, and I am the greatest.
Yeah.
All a declaration of a name of some sort. Naming.
That's, yeah.
And
okay.
They're all right. Songs that, like Sherry Swafford, I left the room because I fell asleep. I was too tired.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the problem with the greatest, I think, is like, if you aren't listening to the whole story, it's nonsense. It's yeah. A nonsense.
You can't bullshit. Check it's, out.
Yeah, you yeah. Have to be involved. Ball but once you are up, involved, the ball goes down and the baseball falls.
Yeah.
To the ground. It's like, that's not a good chorus.
I totally thought, well, the funny thing about The Gambler, and I feel like with the Tim McGraw song, is like, they time dash, they jump in time to where it's like, now it's 20 years later and he yeah. Still loves the girl. Mm. You know, it's like that sort of thing. But Kenny Rogers, it seems like from The Gambler and from this, it's only like, it's one event.
It's super self-contained, yeah. Yeah. I think like all these songs, like, if like we think about like song ideas as popcorn kernels.
Yeah. These are unpopped at the bottom of the bag.
No. They're like those ones, that like started to pop right when you turn the microwave yes. Off. And so they didn't expand much beyond their original idea
yeah.
Of, oh, Sherry, hold on. Yeah. MIBs, woo-woo.
But
or
some people prefer those the most. Those
well,
are the,
it's
that's
when you're
the
at the bottom
of
the bag and you're like, this has a little bit of popcorn, so I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for Men in Black, which is...
Bullshit.
Which
it's
is,
a bullshit
which
song,
is,
and you should feel bad.
Yeah,
for
it's a bullshit song. It's as if somebody took one juji fruit, ejaculated onto it, put that juji fruit in a anthill, had some ants crawl over it and poop and vomit over it. And there were still some ants on there. And then that was then ejaculated on again. So now there's cum-filled ants running on a juji fruit, and you think you're eating popcorn, and you pop that in your mouth. That's what Men in Black is.
And you're like, wait, how did this get in my popcorn?
Yeah. It's like, well, it's a long story involving a couple trips out to the anthill.
This is the harshest. This is the meanest anyone's ever been.
Good. I good.
Good.
You
deserve it.
You deserve it.
This definitely. I thought Superman was gonna be the most I got roasted.
At least that's a song. At least that's a song that someone wrote.
Yeah.
From scratch.
Yeah.
It's also that I know every
yours
word
is like the lyrical equivalent of those little song. Messages that like Taco Bell puts on their hot sauce packets. Like it has as much depth as those. Like,
my
ooh, gonna be
song.
A hot one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, what a great return. A triumphant return for Mr. Josh Patton.
Yeah, I really brought my edge.
Yeah.
No, I love it. Yeah, it was great.
Thanks so much for coming. Thanks for bringing our first Kenny Rogers song.
Yeah.
Hopefully not our last. And hopefully not our last. When can we see you? Where can we see you? The internet. We the clamoring masses.
Oh, check out my Twitter feed at the Josh Patton. Mm-hmm. Twitter.com/the Josh Patton. I guess if you want to type in the https/
mm-hmm.
all that.
Make sure it's secure, guys.
Yeah. And then every Saturday night at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Chelsea, 26th and 8th in New York City, me and Winston have a show with Grandma's Ashes.
That's right.
A fun improv show that is delightful that we're going to do in a few hours because this is being recorded on a Saturday. Did I give away too much by saying
No, you're fine. Great. We like to pretend that this show is live, so I'll edit it out.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's fine. Thank you for joining us live tonight here, live from...
Cellar temperature.
Yeah, cellar temperature.
One thing.
Yes?
We're on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, guys. Tune in.
Yeah, and, you know, if you like the show, please, we would really appreciate it if you reviewed it and gave us, like, how many stars you think it's appropriate.
Give us
any number of
stars.
We would love it.
For the quality of the podcast, not for the quality of Men in Black specifically. You don't want to get a bunch of zero
please,
stars.
Yeah, guys, jeez. We would like to remind you once again, please don't rate the podcast based on your opinion of our song.
Right, because there is that option on iTunes where you can rate it like 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star, 0 stars, or double cum and juji fruit.
Josh, I'm looking at your writer now, and I feel like you've got like 3 more Men in Black burns that you still...
Yeah, I know. I got to get through.
Yeah. Well, guys, we'll see you next week. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Alden Ford.
I'm Winston Knoll.
And thank you for hearing us out.